Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday I finished the answer for the 10th question, so listen as we continue with the next question. Okay, the next question again is along that similar line of sarcasm. Your preaching seems to be out of touch with today's culture. Isn't it time to change what you preach from the Bible, especially on separation? Well, this man evidently is caught up in the contemporary, although I believe that he may be Calvinistic, but he's more in the contemporary. And so when he says, do you think your preaching is out of step and ineffective for this day? Well, let's think about three men right now. Jeremiah. That's where he preached. Did it change the people? No. The people went on into captivity. Isaiah, many believed that he was sawn in half. Ezekiel, they thought he's crazy. Now, the culture does not determine what we preach and how we live. It is the Bible, and it's the Holy Spirit of God working through the Bible. Listen to this from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through chapter 7, verse 1. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship, that is partnership, hath righteousness with unrighteousness? So right there, right off the bat, does the culture change that? Does the culture or the Word of God determine what righteousness is? And what communion hath light with darkness? Are we supposed to mix the world with our worship? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Are we to ecumenicalize? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And you know what? Your body is a temple of God. It should be wearing idols. It should be wearing a crucifix. He says, but ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. He dwells in me when I received him as Christ, as my Savior. He came to indwell me and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And he says, wherefore, come out from among them. This is a very direct commandment. Wherefore, do this right now. When you see therefore in the Bible, it says, as you're walking along, you're heading towards that goal, and on the way, be doing this. Wherefore means, hey, take care of it right now. Wherefore, right now, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's God saying this, it saith the Lord. That does not change. Culture does not change God's word. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, I know a lot of people use demographics, and demographics usually eliminate some people, and yet the Lord wants the whole world to hear. And people say, what are you doing for millennials? Let me tell you what. I'm doing the same thing for millennials that I'm doing for children, for senior adults, and everything in between. That is preaching and teaching the Word. You may think you have something better than what God has given us to do, but if you think that, you're stupid as I look, okay? All right, chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises. Hey, the children of God. I mean, the Lord Almighty, calling us his sons and daughters. Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. But what else are we to do? Not just cleanse ourselves, but perfecting, maturing in other words, holiness in the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the froward mouth do I hate. So that's what the Bible says about what the fear of God is, and we're to try to perfect holiness, then do it. So again, culture does not change it. When he said in chapter 6, verse 18 there, saith the Lord Almighty, that is a direct command. James chapter 3, verse 1, it calls for a greater condemnation for pastors. You see, it's not about numbers, nor is it about not offending the world. Jesus rebuked the disciples in Matthew when they said something to him about offending the scribes and the Pharisees. You see, it's about souls, God's holiness and righteousness, and true repentance and faith. Judgment is going to begin at the house of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18 promises that. And when it starts, it'll be too late to repent. As in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. We must repent, and we must do it now. Hey, Noah did repent, but the people we preached to for 120 years, for the most part, didn't. Now, there might have been some, besides the eight that got on the ark, that got saved and died before the floods came. But we don't see many got saved. But Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord, not the world. No. We're not out of touch with today's culture. We're not trying to be in touch with it. We're trying to be in touch with the Lord and His Word and His way. And separation, be ye holy, for I the Lord God am holy. Holiness speaks of separation. That's why he says, not fastening yourselves in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, according to the former lust. Don't try to emulate the world. All right, let's move on now. And I guess of all of these, I know particularly this one is a Calvinist. And to me, it was the funniest one of them all. And he starts his letter out like this. Hello, Andy. Would you consider asking your flock for forgiveness? Now, I've never met this man in person. I've gotten a lot of emails, but never met him in person. Okay. Would you ever consider asking your flock for forgiveness? There's been countless people who have been brought to a saving faith without ever reading a Bible, much less a Bible with chapters and verses in it. So now he's down on a Bible that has chapters and verses in it. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. Okay, now, he says, well, you don't have to have a Bible. He goes on to say this, there have been countless number of people that have been brought to a saving faith that were illiterate and could not read, even if a Bible was available. When was the first Bible available? About 400 to 450 A.D. and over 1,000 years later was a Bible available in print form. And 100 years later, before verses and chapters were added, in your enthusiasm to be right, you have deceived many. And then answers, peace. Well, okay, it's not the print. It is the word. That's the authority. It's great that we have in print. His word is the authority. It's in print. There's not anything magical about the ink. There's not anything magical about the printing press. There's nothing magical. And he's right. The Bible wasn't divided in chapters and verses, but I remember the same person one time asked me where something was found in the Bible, and it's right smack dab in the middle of Acts, that they searched the scriptures daily to see if those things are so, which was Acts 17:11. First, I was in the flesh about it, and I thought, well, you know, it's in the book of Acts. But I'm not even sure the Bible gave titles to those books, so it's in the New Testament, I should have said. And if you just read the entire New Testament, you'll come across it. Well, that would have been a smart aleck on my part and wouldn't have been right. So I told him Acts 17:11, but isn't it interesting that some of the people he tells me read uses chapters and verse numbers, and for some reason it's all right for them and not for me. Now, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. What is the truth? Well, the truth is the Word of God. He's called the Word in John chapter 1, verse 1. So if he's called the Word, he's the truth. Putting it in print, there's nothing wrong with that. And yes, people did. In those early years, most of them, a lot of them could not read. Now, there's more could read than what they act could, but some could not read. And there weren't printed copies like we have today. And so there were handwritten copies. Many times they had to go to church to hear it, even in England. Church Bibles were chained to the pulpit. As a matter of fact, why is the pulpit in the middle at the front there? Because that's where the Bible would be laid in the churches, and they would be actually chained there because they didn't want anybody to come in and steal the Bible. There were so few copies. And they would stand behind the Bible to preach, to see that it was the Word of God that was being put forth, not the person speaking it. And so that was so very important. But people memorized the Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's not thy printed Word, it is thy Word. So understand, I'm talking about the Bible, and I mentioned King James quite a bit. Why? Because we're King James. It was translated from the Textus Receptus, Masoretic text, which was that was handed out and preserved by God. We have the preserved Word of God, every word. Whether they like it or not, we have it. But you see, that's what they're against. They want a Bible that does not condemn their sin. So, it is the Word of God that's the authority. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now, they preached that word to people that couldn't read, but they believed it. In Timothy, when we're told to give attendance to reading and exhortation, they didn't have a Bible, so listen closely to learn it. Give attention, close attention. In our day that we have the Bible in print, we're even more so without excuse. Now, I have a tendency to think of Paul in the book of Galatians saying, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. See, Paul is rehearsing his ministry to the Galatian believers that he dearly loved. In verse 17, he speaks of bearing in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The word marks in that verse refers to the battle scars the apostle had received while in faithful service to Jesus Christ. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.